Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Well, hello and welcome. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host for today. This is the 25th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is Amy, as I mentioned, and I'm your happiness and high-performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.com. Now, the Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that our listeners, that's you, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. Now, my interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And today just happens to be episode number 25. It's pretty epic. So I am celebrating in style, and I'm just at the moment waiting for our new guest to come on. I will introduce you to her in just a moment. But Joanna Turner is really someone quite phenomenal. I came across her a couple of years ago now in Sydney. And she used to work in a lot of, with lots of CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies around the world. And 2 years ago, she was just beginning her coaching journey, and she has really transformed her entire life, her business, her attitude, even her money blocks, believe it or not, having worked in financial institutions for about 17 years. So we will be sharing all sorts of really, really wonderful nuggets with Joanna today. She's going to be sharing all sorts of things with you, and I'm really, really very excited. I'm just trying to bring Joanna on the show. So Joanna, I'm just going to read a little bit more about her here whilst I'm waiting. She is now called an intuitive business mentor. She is an advanced EFT practitioner, a master NLP practitioner. EFT is emotional freedom technique, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So she's really been delving deep into her own journey, really two of the things she's been focusing on. And in the last year, she's also been working as an Akashic Records practitioner and a shamanic Reiki practitioner. This is pretty awesome for somebody who had been in the corporate world for 17 years, and she's really dived in. I've really just been blossoming, watching her blossom as she really steps into moving forward. I'm just going to get, sorry guys, this hasn't happened before. Here we go. Let's see if we can get her online. Just one moment. Oh, here she is. She's just come online. Yay.
I'm here. Hey. Oh my gosh. It just tells your ability to ramble.
To keep my cool and ramble, I know.
Oh, sorry about that. I was like, where is this email? I've like checked everything.
Oh, so annoying. I'm so sorry. Nothing quite like technical glitches, but anyway.
Oh my goodness. I was like searching, and I've been on a blog talk once before, and I was like, all those emails are coming up. So anyway, I will also maybe blame it being 6 a.m., but I'm very keen and excited.
Oh, you are.
Thank
you
for having
me. Joanna is in Sydney. It's 6 a.m. where she is. It's very early.
But I was up. It's not because I slept in.
Oh. I'm sure, I bet. So I was just sort of doing a little intro, but I will reintroduce you now that you're actually on the line and I have someone to talk to.
Oh my gosh, apologies.
Awesome. So I met Joanna 2015 in Sydney, actually.
Yes.
On a big mastermind group that we were both part of back then. And goodness me, haven't these 2 years flown? It's incredible.
Oh my goodness. And so much has changed. Like I'm just blown away by how everybody's done in the last couple of years. It's been quite incredible.
Yeah.
And I love that we're all in touch still. It's amazing. I love it.
I know. And it's just wonderful to watch how everybody in their own way and at their own pace is blossoming and doing really great things out in the world and helping transform people's lives. So yeah, it's amazing.
Very amazing.
So I would love to delve a little bit more into you and your life, obviously, and then sort of bring that round to what it is you're doing at the moment in your business. And you've got a very, very interesting story. Not only are you Scottish and living in Sydney,
yep,
opposite ends of the world, but you also spent 17 years in big corporate companies in the corporate finance, in that world, and you're now, an Akashic Records practitioner, a shamanic Reiki practitioner, you're advanced in EFT, NLP, all these amazing things. And it's sort of like, how do you go from 17 years in sort of the most corporate sort of male energy, surroundings, to being so intuitive and feminine and in touch with things? It's just, I mean, it's such an epic story, and I cannot wait for you to share it with the listeners.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, where do I start? It is hilarious. And I think if some of the things that now happen to me, I'm going through this and have been for a couple of years now, this massive spiritual awakening, and even just stepping into starting my own business or being a life coach seemed a little bit out there, coming from being an accountant in the first place. And then I moved into business coaching, which seemed to be more aligned with my old story and what I used to do. And then these crazy things started happening to me as I went through this sort of spiritual awakening. And I still have experiences that I just can't quite articulate or even explain. And my old self, and even currently while going through this, I still think I'm slightly crazy or, there's something bizarre is really happening. So I'm still wrapping my own head around it, but it's been such an interesting transition. I was never happy in those 17 years. I mean, let me correct that. I lived a great life because I was always looking for something to give myself meaning while I was doing a really boring thing that I didn't enjoy. So it led me on the most incredible adventures. I've been all over the world, done some crazy feats, like swum Alcatraz Shark Fest, and done crazy, like, I don't know, I've been to the ends of the earth, and usually I'm on a bike or hiking around them. And it's just led me on some beautiful adventures. And I even lived in Bermuda for 6 years. So I was definitely I've always been seeking something. I'm like, right, at least I've got this job I really enjoy. And I used to call it my passport. It would take me all over the world to work. And it brought me to Australia. It's allowed me to live here. Now I've got my citizenship. So I've got my dual passports. So it did serve me very well in those senses. And I also thank it because if I hadn't been just miserable enough, I'd have probably stayed, right? The money was good, it was stable. I was able to have a really great life around my job. And if I'd just been that little bit more comfortable, I'd probably not made the move. And I think that's what happens to so many people. So I'm very glad it was that uncomfortable. Just to touch on the masculine thing, some people, I don't know if your listeners are like, oh yeah, we know what that means. I had no idea. No idea what you meant. And it took me, even in my business, a good 9 months to have it explained to me. And it, I'd in that 9 months, I'd been working with the same mentor as you had in that program. Mm-hmm. And she would talk about femininity and how it was important. And I didn't really get it. I'm like, oh, well, she wears nice clothes and nice shoes. And I started maybe, you know, wearing heels more often or whatever and thinking I was being in my feminine. But I had it, I just didn't understand what she was trying to say. And I don't know, yeah. if it's not her fault for not explaining it. I wasn't hearing it, I guess, at the time. And yeah. it wasn't until I actually went to one of Tony Robbins' courses, Date with Destiny. And if anyone's seen I Am Not Your Guru, I highly recommend it on Netflix. It's an amazing documentary. It gives you a really good taste of what it's all about. And when he explained it, this thing in my body went, oh, I get it. So the masculine is all about problem solving, linear thinking, systems, structures, doing, pushing, that kind of, you know, men are always out doing something. And if you ask them to fix something or help you with something, like, oh, sure, yeah. Right.
They love it. Yep.
You know, they love it. They're like, oh, I can help with the boxes. I'll carry that up. You know, they want to do those things, and it makes them happy. And it, you know, they'll sit, and I think that's maybe why they like computer games much, because they just get to sit and problem solve. They're also focused on one thing at a time, which they're really great at. On the flip side, the feminine side is about, you know, fun and flow and dance and creativity and being in your body and receiving. And one of the hardest parts of the feminine is being vulnerable. And I had completely shut that side of me down. I was not never in long-term relationships. I was never vulnerable. I was never open and fun, and everything was so serious, you know. So I'd sort of, and because that's all about embodiment and being in your body, I used to joke that I was sort of shut down from the neck down. And it's because the masculine is all about thinking and being in your head. And so I still have a lot of clients coming to me, and they're thinking too much, and they're not feeling, and they're not trusting their intuition. And that, you might be like, oh, that's great. But when I realized this next thing, I was like, oh, this is why it's so important, is because relationships need polarity to have passion and to really work. And what I was doing, if I'm in my masculine, I'm sort of bouncing off a masculine man because there's no polarity, or I was attracting these really feminine men, like they looked masculine, but they were actually feminine. And I was like, why am I always dating these big pussies? Like, I don't get it. But it was because I was so masculine myself that they were attracted to the masculine in me. And I was obviously, I don't know, looking for the feminine in them or something like that. So when I had that realization, I was like, oh, there's something here. I explained some of my disaster relationships. And it's also very important in business, because if we think too much, that's not great either.
Exactly. We've got to start tapping into that intuition. Oh, how funny. That's right? Just amazing. I hadn't realized it or seen it manifest like that. You know, you as a woman, or I know I've been very much in my masculine too. And when a mentor, I sort of had the same sort of reaction as you at the beginning. It was like, really? What? Like, what's she going on about?
I still wear dresses. What's she on about, right? I'm like, I have long hair.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a revelation. It's amazing.
Oh, and it continues to be. It's not like I'm like, I can't just like click my fingers. I'm like, oh, I'm in my feminine. I have to continually remind myself to go there. Yeah. And it's not something, you know, we all have both within us, and I can't live completely in my feminine, or I'd get nothing done. One of the best business tips I ever got was from our mentor, but I didn't hear her for the first 9 months again, was that the best business ideas and plans come from the inspired feminine. And then you apply that masculine force behind the inspired idea. And, you know, and the inspired ideas don't really come when you're sitting at your laptop. They usually come when you're out walking or doing yoga or in the shower or on the toilet or something. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And I run back to my desk and I'm like, oh, I've got to like implement that. And when those ideas have without doubt been the things that have given my business most traction the fastest. The crazy little flashes of inspiration I have in bed or when journaling or something. And then I come back to my laptop and I apply it. They, without a shadow of a doubt, have been the things that have been best in my business.
It's just so amazing, isn't it? So it's really there. I remember her talking a lot about inspired action. So it's that you take the time out to be in the feminine. So it's what you were saying just now, whether it's going for a walk or being in nature or having a great chat with a friend or whatever, you know, whatever the feminine might be, getting creative or journaling, etc., and then applying it using the systems and the structures and that kind of thing. And it does work every single time.
Just so amazing. I know, right? But I'm still like at my laptop, like I must come up with a better idea. I'm like, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen right here, no. I've got to get outside.
She used to go for a massage. I have a friend who says, well, once she brings on clients every time she goes for a massage, but she gets her best ideas. I tend to think it's true, actually. It's a good excuse to get a massage.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. So I know that when I last saw you in person was, we were in Florence in October, must have been 2015, I think, same year.
Yes.
And you, I remember in that room, that beautiful room we had in Florence, and in the conference, and you had this kind of like this big aha moment. And I've watched you since then literally go from strength to strength. And I watched you launch your Entrepreneur Edge and your program and this and that. We're going to talk about those in just a moment. But what do you think was it that really got you, whether it was that moment that I remember of you or whether it was something else, what was it that sort of really had you step into sort of a whole nother gear when you were going, you know, when you got to that point in your business? And then you took off, and it was just incredible to see you blossom so amazingly.
I feel like there's been accumulation. It'd be very hard to say there was one thing. At the beginning, honestly, like again, being in that program with you for 6 months, and it coincided beautifully with quitting my job, and I laughed that having a business and accounting background, and I've been in and out over the years of hundreds of companies, like run their books. I mean, I was like, I know business, it'll be fine. Everyone's like, oh, you'll have no problems running a business. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? And joining that program, I was like, oh God, I know nothing about the online business world. It's very, very different animal. I mean, obviously there's some similarities, but there's so many differences. But I was following that model, doing everything I thought right, using those little exclamation marks. But I think it wasn't the first shift happened 6 months into my business when I started doing the inner work. And again, for the first 6 months, I was pushing. I was working crazy hours. I was thinking a lot, you know, push, learning a lot, studying a lot. I was in that mode, and it wasn't until I started addressing some of the deeper issues that things started to shift in my business. When I started, I was an accountant, you know, I was 34 when I started, I think, 33 maybe, 33 or 4. And, you know, I was a strong, independent woman, and I was, you know, financially set for life. And I was like, I have all my stuff together. You know, I was fit, and I was, you know, I really thought I didn't have any problems. And I used to judge emotional people or people that went for counseling and I was just so in that, like, I can force the world to do what I wanted to do. and I kind of believed that I could have whatever I wanted, but it was from this place of like force. And I was a good person, and I was a volunteer as a lifeguard, but there was definitely this side of me that had been completely suppressed, and partly maybe from growing up in Scotland, not blaming anybody, it's just our culture, we don't talk about emotions, nobody cries, and it's just we're very shut down, and my way of coping and most of my family's way of coping, to be honest, apart from it just being so cold, is to eat. And so I'd been an emotional eater for my whole life and still am in certain ways, although I've dramatically improved and still working on it. But I didn't really, I just extremely exercised to deal with the extreme eating, to sort of balance things out a little bit. And really the only problem I thought I had was a bit of a weight fluctuation thing. And I had no idea that what was really going on under the surface. And the thing shifted in my business when I started taking the lid off that. And it sounds scary and it sounds horrible, but it kind of accidentally happened. And it's actually been one of the I mean, I credit it to be the absolute best thing I've ever done. And I'm so grateful to my business for having forced me into look under the surface, under the hood, and open Pandora's box in a way. Because I truly believe that, well, one, I'm so proud to be the person I am today. And I know I'm a work in progress. But I actually think it's opened me up as well to relationships and to, you know, have the life I really want. And I don't believe that would have happened if I'd just carried on my corporate career. Like, nothing had changed in all those years. Nothing was going to dramatically change for me unless I made these changes myself. And what I realized is I think I've become maybe slightly addicted to personal development. And looking for these things, because now I know how important it is to clear this stuff and what a difference it makes in my business. And the more inner work I do, the more money I make, which is kind of ironic. But because you will never, your income will never outgrow yourself, your personal development. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh. And so I've been very focused on, as quickly as possible, shifting through my stuff. And, you know, I work, do a lot of work with this on my clients, is shifting the stuff as quickly as possible, because I just know how important it is and how it opens up everything else. So, like, from going from being really self-sabotaging, a procrastinator, thinking too much, you know, just ending up in bizarre situations, to really allowing and going with the flow, which I talk about a lot. But really I've gone from living in fear to now having such trust in myself and the universe, for want of a better word, that even when things now, I mean, we're entrepreneurs, things can still be, feel like a roller coaster. Even in the dips, I'm almost in complete surrender and faith. Like, it just doesn't rattle me like it used to. And getting to that point hasn't been like an overnight thing. But so I would say the first thing that happened was when I started the inner work, and I started with EFT, which was,
tell us a little bit more about that.
So I love EFT. I actually don't use it with clients and stuff that much, because I've found some different methods I love better. But this is an incredibly powerful technique, and it's really fabulous for people if, you know, you're at home, you can do it on yourself. It's even more effective with a practitioner, and a really fabulous tool. But you can do it at home, and that's why I love it, because it's such a sort of empowering tool that, you know, if you are working through something or something comes up or you can't afford a coach or whatever it is, you can do it yourself. So it's called emotional freedom technique, or tapping. You might have, some people have heard of it, called tapping. And it works with our meridian lines and acupressure points. And you literally lightly tap on certain points on your body, and it helps you release some of those blocked emotions. So all of that suppressed stuff, it really helps shift things. And at the beginning of my career, when I was, I just had that and I didn't have NLP, I was still having dramatic results with clients. It just took a little bit longer to get there. But it really helps neutralize fear and anxiety and all of those kind of negative feelings that you don't want. It's really effective. I've seen people with, like, it really helped me with emotional eating and clearing deep traumas and like abuse. And I mean, I got into all sorts of things with it and had really dramatic results. Addiction is really great for addiction. So it's a fabulous tool.
It's amazing.
Tool.
It's such a subtle tool, but yet so powerful at the same time.
Yeah, you do it and you're like, this cannot possibly work, or everybody would know. Like, if this was as simple as it is, everybody would know about it. And I think it gets this, you know, it can, so there's two things. It can either give you, it's known as a 1 minute work miracle sometimes, because the shift can be that dramatic that quickly. If you hit the right point for the right emotion, it can just, like my back pain, for instance, I'd had for a long time, which was one of the original catalysts for getting out of accounting, was a back injury. My back pain I'd had for 9 months disappeared in a matter of minutes when I started tapping. And that was on the first tapping course I ever did. And I was like, oh, this is really powerful. And so I had my proof, and he actually started the course with that to give us proof, because it's sometimes, you know, it's so esoteric. We're like, it's very hard to, I guess, see the results, you know, sometimes with emotions. I'm always putting things on a scale of 0 to 10, just so as we can gauge how much we have actually helped with something.
Yeah.
But when you feel your back pain disappear, it's quite dramatic. And there was a lady whose asthma disappeared that same, you know, in those same few minutes. And she's like, but I don't get it. I'm a person with asthma. And we're like, and I'm like, yeah, and I have this chronic back pain. What? And so we were really amazed but confused. And, you know, nobody, as weird as it sounds, it's like change is scary. And, you know, and she couldn't quite accept that her asthma had disappeared. But all pain is 90%, I believe, emotional. And 70%, sorry, emotional. So, for instance, so I believe that my back pain after my accident, I'd healed that 30% that was physical with the chiro, the osteo, the physio, the you know, reformer, Pilates, all of those things. I'd healed the physical side, and I would keep going back. I'm like, it still hurts. And they're like, you're kind of okay. Like, you know, the MRI hasn't shown anything again. The x-ray is clear. You know, it was like, there's nothing left for us to fix. They keep sort of placating me and, you know, massaging or whatever. And I'm like, because it hurts. But there was nothing physically actually wrong with me. And I think a lot of people get to that point. They keep going back to a physio and the guy's like, oh, you're fine. What's your problem?
There's nothing there anymore.
But you haven't let go of the emotion attached to it. And so
right. The
tapping allowed me to let go of the emotion attached to it, because we hold all of it in our bodies rather than in our minds necessarily. And it disappeared. And I occasionally get a stiff back if I'm, you know, haven't exercised for a while or whatever it is, but it's not emotional pain anymore.
Gosh, that's amazing. Just love it. And I know, just tell us a little, I want to dig into some more stuff here, but tell us a little bit about the Akashic Record certification you've done, because that for me is, I mean, I just love it. But I haven't had anyone on the show who's done Akashic Records before, so share a little bit about what that actually is, because it's pretty way out there.
it is completely bonkers. No, I'm kidding. But I appreciate if people are like, what is she on about?
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because even sometimes with the results I'm getting, I'm like, how is this even possible? How is this happening? I will cat, like, I think that it's been relatively easy for me to get this connection and to get it, because I've done so much deep work, and you know, I've done a lot of sort of shamanic practices, and I've gone really deep over the last few years. There's a saying that you can only take your clients as deep as you've been willing or able to go yourself. And so I was like, well, I've got to go first. I've got to, like, if I'm going to get these shifts from other people, I have got to go there. Right? So I've really gone there, and I sort of credit that for opening up, I guess, my intuition, and then allowing me to access the records. At the same time, anybody can do it. I'm not special. I believe we're all psychic. I believe we're all intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are just a little bit more open or wanting to to play with this. And part of it is practice and opening up that channel. But I'll just explain a little bit more. So the Akashic Records are a vibrational record in the universe of everything that's ever been done, said, written or spoken in all of our, in our life and in all of our past lives. So bear with me, I'll explain that a little bit more. And it also contains all potential future outcomes for our lifetimes. And so I've probably already lost some people, but bear with me.
Don't worry.
They're like, what?
Right there with
so
you.
Again, and I've come from a very very agnostic, not religious place. Like, my parents do go to church and took me as a kid, but I never had any faith, any belief in anything. I still wouldn't call myself religious, but I've definitely become spiritual through, I guess, almost having no choice in the matter, because I see so many of these. I'm like, I just, there's no other possible way of explaining things. So through my studying and through this work, I believe we have one soul, and our one soul has a soul purpose, because everyone's always talking about their soul purpose and what's my soul purpose. But the soul purpose, imagine that on a continual timeline, a big long timeline. And the soul that you have never dies. And the soul goes through multiple lifetimes. And every time you are reincarnated into a new lifetime, you come in with a whole bunch of lessons to learn, and they are predetermined lessons that you bring into this lifetime. And we don't really get a choice in those lessons. Well, in that space in between lifetimes, I believe there's a sort of a council, or like, you know, you actually do know what your lesson is going to be, but at birth we tend to forget. And children are often very open. The veil is very thin when you're a baby and a small child. And a lot of kids see things, and they see, you know, grannies in the house, or I was hearing about somebody whose kid kept seeing this white cat under the bed, and there was no cats. But I believe, you know, people are like, oh, the monster's under the bed, there's nothing there. I actually believe a lot of the time they have been there, and the kids are not making it up. That's in hindsight. And there's a lot of children have memories of past lives, or they speak fluent Russian and they're English, or, you know, or they can take you back to their old home, or whatever it is. So there's so many stories about that. It's fascinating. So each lifetime we are incarnated, we have all of these lessons to learn. The choice we get in this lifetime is whether we learn them at all. So we've always got a choice. We're always in control of our destiny in that sense. So you can choose not to learn that lesson at all. But what happens is you'll come back in another lifetime with an even harder situation often. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you didn't learn it last time, so we're really going to wake you up this time. So I'm like, I'm all for learning my lessons as quickly as possible. And the other choice you get is how fast you learn them, and whether you learn them there then through joy or pain. I love Marianne Williamson, A Course in Miracles, and it's very aligned with that theory. So just for an example, like, you often see someone, you know, and they're kind of dating the same guy, or they're not, it's a different man, but they're in the same situation. He's not calling them, or he's disrespecting, or he's abusive, or he's, you know, whatever he is. But it's like, oh, you find another guy doing exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's because the lesson isn't necessarily being learned. Like, for me and my, you know, my weight gain and loss, like, there's something I still haven't learned there. Like, I'm actively trying to figure it out, but I haven't got it yet. Still another piece of that puzzle that I'm trying to figure out. Same thing happening in business. If you're constantly having the same type of client or big issues, like, some people will have problems with clients all the time, and some people never have a problem with a client. And it's not that all clients are a problem or not. It's like, what are they attracting? What are they not learning from the last situation? So we have all these learnings to get, and the idea is to learn as fast as possible. So every time I'm in a tricky situation, instead of being like, oh my God, the world is all against me and it's terrible. I'm like, okay, I'm like, what am I supposed to learn here? What am I supposed to learn?
What's the lesson?
I know. I'm like, I'm available to learn it. Please tell me what it is, because I do not want to go through this again. So that's, so I've got these lessons as we travel through our lifetimes incarnated in these different, and you can be different race, different gender, different part of the world. And I've done a lot of past life regression work, and you know, I've been all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but usually I've either been a healer or a teacher or a high priestess or a shaman or something like that.
Wow.
In all of these multiple lifetimes of different things, and I've been black and white and Chinese and Indian, and I've been all sorts of things, and male and female, and seen all of these different sides of myself, but there's always been this healer element. Anyway, so we travel through, and then I believe all of our future outcomes, depending on our decisions and depending on how fast we're learning the lessons, already exist in parallel universes. I might again, people are like, what the heck? So what's amazing about the records is they are guarded by masters, teachers, and loved ones. Mm-hmm. And you can access, I can access my own, I can access them for other people with their permission. I can do pets, bodies of water, houses, you name it, almost everything has crystals, even have an Akashic record. So it's when I'm accessing, when I do it, is this dimensional, high vibrational kind of portal that allows me to have these communications with the masters and teachers of these records. And the main purposes you would access the records are to find out, one, what your soul purpose is, or how or why you're blocked at the moment. So we can look through all the past lives and be like, hey, why didn't I learn the lesson here? Or what's going on in this lifetime that I maybe didn't, you know, why have I still got this lesson to learn? So often, and I've done so many of these readings for people, I'll be like, hey, and they'll be like, why do I have such a difficult relationship with my mother in this lifetime? I'm like, oh, I'm getting an idea that you have a past life connection. Can I explore that? They're like, sure. I'm like, she was your child in a past lifetime. And then they're like,
oh, wow.
And they're like, oh my God, she's like my child in this lifetime. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So
there
when
you
she was your child, you were supposed to learn, you know, unconditional love, or, you know, whatever that was, to accept her fully as herself. And you didn't. And then now in this lifetime, you're basically repeating the same pattern, whatever that might be. And they're like, oh my gosh. And so that's one way you can use the records. And then the other way is, like, instead of it being sort of more fortune telling, it's more, if I take this path or this, make this decision, what might happen? And I'm like, oh, that's a really great outcome. That would be a great thing. Not so much. That doesn't feel so aligned. And you can sort of get closer and closer to help people align their decision or like their path towards their soul purpose. And so, but through the records, I mean, I have been told what vitamins I need to take, what healing would be good for me next to do. And one of the ones that came up was Reiki. And then I was sent to a Reiki teacher. All of my masters, like all of my mentors and healers are sent to me. I don't go looking for them. So I'm not on the internet like, ooh, next healing therapy. They literally turn up in my life when I'm ready for it, which is just boggles
just
my mind.
Amazing.
But I'm very, very
it's
grateful
that old
for
phrase,
that.
Isn't it? When the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Literally. My friend was like, you need to go for this Reiki session while I was in Bali. And I was like, okay, sure. I love trying. I'd been tried it maybe once 5 years ago, and I was like, oh sure, I haven't, as part of all of my healing regimen, I was like, I haven't done much Reiki. I went in for a session, and she's like, how long are you here? And I was like, oh yeah, I need another session. And she's like, because you need to become a Reiki teacher, like a practitioner, and I need to teach you one-on-one on Saturday. And I was like, what? And so I was like, okay, cool. So on the Saturday, I became a Reiki practitioner, and then I've just done my Reiki 2 with her. And but she's like, they're telling me that you need to do this on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
who am I to argue with that?
Absolutely.
So strange things like that happen. So I accidentally in the last 2 weeks became a Reiki practitioner without really meaning for it to happen, but it was supposed to happen. So just to get back quickly to the records, so what's happened is I used to just hear the message, and I'd hear these sort of words and broken sort of bits and pieces of information. And at first you're like, is this me? Is this my, you know, am I making this up? Is this my ego? And so trusting what's coming through first is one of the hardest parts of it. Then I would start to see flashes of pictures and start to interpret them. And then what I did, when you first learn, you've got this 30-day period and they're like, don't take any money, don't charge anyone, just go out and practice. And so I was like, I'm going to do 30 sessions in 30 days in September. And I ended up doing about 60 sessions in 30 days because it was so popular and everybody was like, me. And I was like,
wow.
I didn't want to say no. So I ended up doing about 60 of these. And what came the biggest learning for me, and they were people I had didn't know who they were, or I did know them. And whether I knew them or not, I was getting these crazy amounts of information through that I would never have thought up. Like I couldn't have thought it up. And so I really built my confidence. And now I just have this real sense of knowingness. Like I literally just open my mouth and start speaking. And I guess that's the sort of channeling piece. And I just know what they're trying to communicate. And it's a very weird, it's amazing because it just comes through and I'm like, the things that come out of my mouth, I'm like, where did that come from? but it's literally just coming through me. And that has been the biggest gift. And I guess what came from doing all of those free sessions is just being able to cultivate that channel for myself and that trust and the knowingness, I guess, for want of a better word. Does that make any sense at all?
It makes sense to me because I'm sort of in the same world as you are, but it may not make any sense to other people out there. But anyway, either way, whether it does or doesn't, be sure to check Joanna out. Her website is www.missionforbalance.com, and you can find her on Twitter and Instagram at JoannaTurner24, and on Facebook she's there as well, Joanna Turner. And that's missionforbalance.com. And if anybody actually wants to call in and ask another question, then do feel free. If you're in the States, the number is 646-716-7979. So Joanna, gosh, that was just I just love talking about this stuff. And even better when it's on air. It's just wonderful.
Right? Oh my goodness.
We're sharing it with people out there and they may not have ever heard of it before, then they'll go and check you out.
I'd never heard of it myself. I'd never even had a reading before I went to become a practitioner in it either. Like, this is the kind of funny stuff. I turn up and they're like, you've never had a reading before? I'm like, no, I just realized I needed to be here and do this. And they're like, okay. But it's all very, if anyone, I guess the one question I get a lot is like, are you talking to dead people? And I'm like, it's not quite like that. It's very positive, only light.
Yeah,
love.
It's not like in the movies.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the odd encounter with the darker stuff, but the Akashic Records are very much a safe, light place, and you only get information that you're ready to hear. So, for instance, I've had people. I mean, I've been asked from how can I save my marriage to how can I be better in bed, how can I launch my product? What price should my product be when I launch it? I mean, I have had all sorts of questions, but you only hear what you're ready to hear. And I've had people ask me, for instance, like, am I going to have a baby? And I'm like, I guess I'll ask. And I just would get I'd hear nothing. And I'm like, they're not you don't need to know that just yet, for instance. Or, you know, and sometimes, you know, people are like, when am I going to move to, I had one girl, when am I going to move to Germany? And I checked in and the answer was, when you decide, you know, like,
so wow.
it's not always like baby the 12th, you know.
Yeah, amazing.
Can be a little infuriating, so, something.
I know one of your big topics, at least when you know, when I last saw you, was looking into money blocks and how to, I guess, how to even recognize, because a lot of people are, I mean, you and I, in the world we're in, we hear about money blocks all the time and how to sort of bust through them and that sort of thing. But to people who are potential clients or out there in the corporate world or any other world, how do you explain what money blocks are and how do you help people recognize that they might even have them?
That's like a whole episode, Amy. I'll try and answer it
into a few minutes.
Again, coming from that corporate accounting world, yeah. I'd never heard of money being energy. That yeah. to me was a very foreign concept. But if we assume that everything is energy and we're energy and we vibrate at a certain frequency mm-hmm. and then attract certain things in at that frequency, it makes it, I guess it explains a little bit easier. But our money blocks, our money stories are everything. And people are like, how do I know if I have one? I'm like, do you have the money you want in your life right now? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you have money blocks. So, you know, unless you're like wildly, you know, abundant and have all that you need and never complain or worry about money, then there's something going on. So I've even seen people, you know, in high, you know, my former corporate life, high six-figure salaries, complaining that they don't have enough money or that they can't afford a car. Like, even when you're earning those kind of big salaries, you can still spend it on everything and be back to nothing in the bank on, you know, monthly, right? You can still be living month to month, even on a six-figure salary. So so let me see. So it's everything, your money, it comes from your money story, which, so all of your values and beliefs are set by the time you're 7 years old. And then those values and beliefs generate the thoughts and behaviors and patterns generally throughout the rest of your life. So the way you see the world by the time you're seven is generally doesn't really change. Up until about 21, we're still changing a lot, but it's pretty much set from there on, unless you become an entrepreneur and have all your stuff thrown up in your face, and therefore you have to change. So, but the good news is you can change anything you're not happy with in your life. And I think knowing that we now have that power is incredibly empowering. But so you have these values and beliefs set by the time you're 7 years old. And in relation to money, they can often be everything that you've heard or seen demonstrated about money around you as a child. So if your parents, for instance, when you were young, argued about money constantly, or we can't afford that, you can't have that, we don't have the money, money is bad, money, rich people are evil, rich be bad, they must be so corrupt, look at them in their fancy car, not having lunch money. I mean, some people, kids grow up without even having a breakfast or, you know, money for anything at school, or there was only ever enough, or you weren't allowed those designer trainers because we don't have those kind of things. So whatever that stuff can really then influence your life. And so if you are seeing patterns coming in your life now, you can often look back at your family and be like, which is that my mom's story or my dad's story? And then they only got their stories from their parents. And you can, it's really interesting to look back and see what part of your belief system is coming from where. And it can also be a cultural thing, a gender thing, there can be all sorts of things. So like, for instance, if you like got a scholarship and then went to a rich school, even though your family might not have a lot of money, you saw people demonstrating having more money. So there's all sorts of different influences we can have on this. Underlying it often is a lack of self-worth as well. If you don't have the money you want, there's a sense of not deserving or not being worth it. I see that happen a lot. And the way it shows up beyond in business, especially beyond just not having enough money, is fear of judgment, fear of success, mm-hmm. fear of failure, fear of rejection. All of these, and really everything comes back to fear usually.
Yes.
underpinning your behavior, and you're like, oh, I don't have money blocks. I'm like, are you procrastinating? Are you doing sales calls? Have you put your website up when you said you were going to? Are you reaching out to people? Are you emailing people back? And the number of times people, you know, they're like, oh, I just can't, you know, my business isn't working. And I'm like, when was the last time you made an offer? When was the last time you tried to sell anything? And they're like, never. And so there's this, so there's definitely all of this guilt and shame around money.
Yeah.
And then who do I become if I have it? Do I become a bad person? Do I become a monster? You know, will people like me? Will my friends still like me? Will my family accept me if I have money, because they think rich people are evil and bad and corrupt?
And a lot of this is subconscious as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Most people, if I said, what would happen if I handed you $1 million tomorrow, they'd be like, it would be amazing. I'd just go out and I would, you know, I'd pay off all my debt and I'd get a new car and I'd do this and I'd do this. In reality, there's as much bad subconsciously as good that would come with being handed $1 million. What would I do with it? I don't want the responsibility. I don't know what I'd have to deal with investments. They're not familiar with having that much money. And, you know, there's a very high statistic of lottery winners that then get rid of the money and are back to where they were or less within 3 years of actually winning the lottery. And it's because of this money story piece and not being familiar or comfortable with large amounts of money. So they actually get rid of it as fast as possible, usually going into addiction and very often going into sort of addiction and it brings more problems than solutions often for people, because they don't actually want to move out of their neighborhood or whatever that thing is. So it can be very twisted if you're
So removing the blocks is removing the blocks is obviously fundamentally important.
Yes.
So if anybody out there is listening and would like to get in touch with Joanna to help you remove your money blocks, because you suddenly realize you've got a whole ton you didn't realize you had before. Joanna's website again is missionforbalance.com.
Yes.
And you also have a 6-month coaching program, which
actually turned into a year now, Amy. It's just morphed into a whole year. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Same, but longer.
Yeah. So that's the entrepreneuredge.com.au. www.theentrepreneuredge.com.au. Absolutely go check Joanna out, because she's just the force to be reckoned with in such a beautiful way. Oh, my goodness. So I know we've got another point here before we end. I just want to get through these last couple of bits here as well. Is what is spiritual bypassing? Because I know that's
I'm just looking at these questions myself as well. Spiritual bypassing is focusing on, it's like, oh, well, I do yoga, I have some crystals, and I've been doing my affirmations daily. So I'm really spiritual and I'm doing all of my inner work, right? And all of that is amazing and I love it, but they get frustrated because they're not necessarily seeing the results, because they're not really doing the inner work. So it's taking the lid off Pandora's box and actually doing some of that healing and the emotional work underneath allows you to not be doing the spiritual bypass. So instead of just trying to meditate your way out of the situation, you're actually dealing with it in a responsible way, I guess.
Yeah, and delving deeper rather than just the external, which the external practices of yoga, etc., and the crystals, I mean, they're all brilliant. They all add into the mix wonderfully. And like you said, we have to delve into Pandora's box. And even, I mean, the great example is just of money blocks. I mean, something so simple can be indicative of so much more that's going on under the surface that we're probably not even aware of. And particularly people in you know, corporate businesses like yourself, that's where you've come from. And you've just been on this epic journey ever since.
Absolutely. And I don't want to judge anyone who's getting into any of that stuff, because it's often the doorway. I mean, I did yoga long before I tried anything else, right? And and nobody needs to do this stuff. Like, I was trying to explain to my lovely flatmate. He's like, I just don't understand why somebody would need a life coach. And I was like, well, do you have everything you want in your life? And he lives very much in surrender and in flow and, you know, trusts and does crazy that he just rode a motorbike from Italy to Sydney and over a couple of years, right? I mean, he's definitely not living in fear or not going after his dreams. But, you know, not everybody does that. And whatever your doorway into it or into this world is fine. I see a lot of people judging. A lot of people get into this initially because, you know, they just want to get out of the 9-to-5 or they just want to, you know, live that freedom lifestyle, or they just want financial freedom, or they want the money or whatever it is. And I see a lot of people judging other people for trying to sell that dream as a sort of a way into the entrepreneurial world. And I don't really have a problem with that. Like, you know, I left corporate because one, I wasn't happy. I didn't want to work a 9-to-5 anymore. I did want more freedom. Of course I wanted the money and all of those things are fine. Like, it's cool. My ego wanted bits of it. I also just wanted to help people. And or whatever the doorway, whatever grabs you first, I don't really care.
But exactly. I think whatever it is, just open that door.
Whatever brings you in, it's fine. But I think when you get here, then you're like, oh, hang on, there's more to this. Like, it's not all about me. Or once you're making past a certain point financially, like after 70 grand a year, the money doesn't really make much difference to your happiness. It makes a 10% incremental difference. It's like, you want, once you have one Lamborghini, having two doesn't make any difference. Or once, you know, or whatever, you know, I have an awesome little green Ford Fiesta that I love, little sporty number. But I mean, if I had two cars, it would make zero difference to my life. Like, it doesn't, you know, there's not an incremental shift. And so you get into this world and you're like, God, like, why am I doing this? Why am I getting up at 5:30 in the morning to do an interview? And if you know, it's not because necessarily because I need the money, it's because I want to and I want to share this and I want to help people. And and so you end up being more realizing that there's a bigger mission, or even that you might have a bigger mission. I didn't really know even what I had to say or what my point of view was when I started this business. It sort of evolved. And I don't want to put people off by thinking that they have to have this big mission and purpose, or it all planned out, or have everything, know every step that they've got to take. It's just, have you got this like little thing inside, that burning desire of like going, ooh, what if there's something else? What if I, you know, just follow that and the rest unfolds. And I think a lot of people get into that like judgy thing of, oh, they're only in it for them or whatever. So I don't really care how you get.
as long as
you make yourself happy, and then ideally help other people along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I remember how I first got into all of this. It was back in 2005 or 6 or something or other, and I was in deepest, darkest Africa in a hotel in Botswana. And I was pretty down and out on life at the time. I just realized that, you know, my obviously ex, now boyfriend, was cheating on me and all sorts. And I... amazingly, I was in this hotel, and the hotel, they changed from one night to the next. They changed my room, so I went into this new room, and right on the table, the bedside table there, was a copy of The Secret, and it had just come out. And,
oh my God, you know,
I knew nothing about anything of this, and obviously The Secret had its success and whatever, but that was the thing that opened the door for me for this whole journey I've had over the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It was the first thing I read.
I love that. And then, like, even back then, I then sent everyone I knew a copy.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, you have to read this. It's The Secret to Eternal Life and Happiness. And they're like, oh, what? Okay. Thanks, Joe. I'm like, don't you get it? I was like, why is everybody else as excited about this?
I did exactly the same. Oh, how so funny. Okay, so just a last little point, and in about a minute, because we've only got that much time left, what is the flow state?
Ooh, great question. The flow state is I'm currently obsessed with it, and I feel like it's my life purpose. It kind of makes sense of everything I do and puts under one umbrella. The flow state is that everyone has a slightly different definition, but to me it is when you're in the zone, when you and everybody's experienced it to some extent. If you're procrastinating, you put something off, you put it off, you put it off, and the deadline's in an hour, and in that last hour you get more done in that hour than you have in the last 3 weeks.
Right. Yep, I know so well.
I call that risk-induced flow state, right? Because suddenly you're like, oh my God, I've got to get it done, or there are these consequences. But when you're in that place, everything else kind of shuts down, melts away. You become super creative. Your judgment disappears. Your brain starts functioning at this different level. Your problem-solving improves. And you're kind of in this happy place because you're just like flying through that stuff. Or if you are even in you go out for lunch with somebody and suddenly 4 hours have passed and you're like, what happened? And you just were in this like flow place with this conversation and this time just melted away. Or elite athletes get into flow a lot because often for them, especially like endurance, like high performance athletes, like surfers or skiers, or if they're not in this flow state of like super concentration, it can often equal injury or death. Writers, often people who write books, have to get into this flow state and they can a whole book in a day, or not quite, but once they're in that place of just like in it. Or an artist, I used to do a lot of drawing and painting, and it was my Sunday afternoon thing, and my Sunday afternoon would just evaporate. 5 hours would just disappear because I was so concentrated and in this flow state. And in the flow state, you can get 500%, you're 500% more productive. So you can basically get 1 day's work done or 5 days' work done in one. So often people will get more done in 1 day than most people get done in a week if they can tap into this flow state more often. Well, the problem is that most people, they don't get into it, and it becomes addictive as well, that state. Most people don't access it in good ways. They'll medicate, or they will push things to the last minute, like the procrastination, or they will have to put themselves in such high risk stakes to be able to access it. And so what I'm really want to do is help people get into that amazing state, because amazing things come from it. But without the, having to put your life on the line, effectively. It's all about creating abundance and flow and your life. It's when all these synchronicities start happening.
So when they start coming together.
Expand it and live in flow rather than, just for pockets of time. And then you can have flow quarter, and you can expand out so your year becomes in flow. But it also... You can't be in that super hyper focus mode all the time. There has to be a recovery built in. There is always this space of fear, and there is always this surrender point before you get in there. And so it's about how to get there faster, amplify it once you're in it, and then, but it'll also allow the recovery time on the other side and to improve, to take away the guilt or the shame around that needing that recovery time, because a lot of people don't like to think that they need it.
That's so amazing. Jonna, I'm gonna have to cut you off there because we've literally got about 30 seconds left. But wow, thank you so much. Anybody wanting to find out more about the flow state, about your money blogs, about spiritual bypassing, about the Akashic Records, EFT, NLP, Shaky Reiki, missionforbalance.com, go check Joanna out. She's so wonderful. I've thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed having you on the show. This was episode number 25 of Being Brilliant Radio Show with Amy Hackett-Jones and, of course, my fabulous guest, Joanna Turner. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Go out and be your brilliant selves. Until next time, ciao for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Ready for a next generation education? Earn your degree online at Grand Canyon University. GCU offers the most experienced leadership in delivering degree programs online. Choose from more than 100 bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees across 8 colleges in high-demand employment areas. Join our innovative digital classroom, connect with full-time faculty, and enjoy complete access to our vibrant Phoenix campus community. Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/online.